In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And by thy gracious mercy, so purify me that I may worthily proclaim thy word unto thy people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I am a great fan of the communion lectionary of the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, and of the 1928 prayer book in general. But it is nonetheless true that it was compiled at a time when, let us say, some elements of modernity were already beginning to rear their heads in the midst of the church. So while it is generally theologically and morally very strong, there are a few places where things have been, shall we say, trimmed that I would have preferred had not been so trimmed. Not only was the liturgical movement underway, for better or for worse, but the form of biblical scholarship known as scriptural criticism was in full bloom. And while, as R.A. Torrey's The History of Higher Criticism points out, there is a higher criticism that is at once reverent in tone and scholarly in work, which from first to last is the work of a Christian believer, constructive, not destructive, fortifying faith in the Bible, not rationalistic. The sad truth is that there is also a great deal of the sort of critics who are, well, too critical, who have based their theories largely upon their own subjective and predetermined conclusions, deciding on that basis what must have been the case, by their own estimations, or what should or ought to have been the case. In particular, there has been an assumption that any text which is found only in a later volume must not be original and is somehow contaminated and untrustworthy, even as the survival of ancient texts is a matter of chance, or more accurately, of divine providence, and even as our Eastern Orthodox and Roman brothers and sisters have been using them fearlessly for nearly two millennia, and our own Anglican divines had no trouble using them from 1549 until the early years of the last century. And I fear that, sadly, some of that mistrust has even crept into the compilation of our own beloved prayer book lectionary. Rarely, thanks be to God. But one such example, I think, occurs today. In every traditional lectionary prior to the 1928 BCPs, our lesson from the first epistle of St. John, the fifth chapter, beginning at the fourth verse, includes the following: "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." Let me reread that. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." This passage appeared in every book of common prayer, both in England and America, prior to 1928. The original prayer book of 1549, as mentioned, and those of 1552, 1559, and 1662 in England. And when America created its own prayer book after the Revolution, it appeared in the 1789 and 1892 editions. Only in 1928 was that passage altered. Just two short verses, but they, and especially the first, which I quoted that second time, are of potentially earth-shaking importance. Why? Because one of the most common complaints and objections to the Christian faith raised by those who claim some passing acquaintance with it, including members of more progressive churches, is that the doctrine of the Holy Trinity was created more or less out of whole cloth in the 4th and 5th centuries, that it doesn't appear in the Bible. And since that doctrine, the Trinitarian nature of God, is the key, the foundational element of Christian belief, underpinning all that we believe about God and about Christ our Lord as the second person of that holy and undivided Trinity, the incarnation of God's divine Word, not just the only begotten Son of God, of the Father, in a way which implies that he could have been created or generated from God, but rather that the Trinitarian nature of God is core to the divine essence. Casting doubt on that doctrine opens up a whole can of worms. Well, the argument goes, if you can't be sure about as basic a doctrine as that, how can you be sure about anything else? How can you make theological claims that God is only the Holy Trinity and can't be anything else? How can you make moral claims about what God wants us to do and not do if you can't even be sure who and what God is? But the reality is that for nearly 2,000 years, right up until modernity showed up and started dancing around with pins, trying to pop anything that it didn't like, Christian people knew and understood because it was written in the received texts of the Holy Scriptures, that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That is about as firm and categorical a Trinitarian statement as you're going to find anywhere. The creeds themselves have nothing on that. That statement was good enough for Clement of Alexandria and St. Jerome. It appeared in the Septuagint and the Vulgate. It suited St. Anselm and St. Thomas Aquinas. It was found in the Matthew Bible, in Tyndale's and Coverdale's translations. It was known to George Washington. And it was and is found in the King James Bible. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And as St. John continued to write, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It doesn't get much clearer than that. Believe on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is crucified, the second person of the holy, undivided, and eternal Trinity. Believe on God, his Father, and on the Holy Ghost, one God in Trinity of persons and unity of substance, and you will have life. Believe not, and it will be otherwise, for he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And if at times we struggle with that, for we are all human, and struggles come with humanity, let us adopt the prayer of the Father of the child Jesus healed in the 9th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In the name of the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, living and reigning through all eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen. Alleluia.